Sex education, is this something the government should be doing, the church should be doing, or parents should be doing? Has it gone too far the way it is? Is the internet replacing all of those authorities in citizens' lives? This topic coming right up on Pillow Talk.
I'm an anti-feminist because I think it's oppressive, I think it's anti-male, I think it's anti-femininity.
Now, it may be a very weak Brexit, but I tell you what, Brexit of any kind and leaving those treaties as well.
That's the best ever interview. No. Michael Parkinson, you got nothing on this bloke.
I've got a bee in my bonnet about parental authority. It's something that I feel is incredibly important, and that we're at the point of the frog in the nearly boiling water. For a long time, it's being eroded and usurped, particularly by an ever-increasing size of government taking over the role of family authority, which is naturally designed by God. Whether you believe in God or not, it's clear that there's an ever-growing government education system which is going well beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic, and well into ideology and personalities. And these kind of values are probably not best implemented by a government for democratic reasons. If a government can train its next generation of voters, it's virtually guaranteed itself unlimited power simply by brainwashing them. What's the check and balance on a corrupt government with that kind of agenda? Individual authority, parental authority, family authority. Well, joining me today to discuss this is somebody who brought it to my attention. I subscribe to a bunch of leadership podcasts and blogs and newsletters. And Leadership Works is one such ministry in New Zealand. Alan Vink is currently the executive director for Leadership Works. And prior to this role, he was the executive director of the Willow Creek Association of New Zealand. He's also been a Baptist pastor for 23 years, a Bible college teacher, and a church consultant. Alan, welcome to Pillow Talk.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here. And thank you for the opportunity. I love the work you're doing. Fantastic.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be co-laborers with you. So your email proposed that the church take back sex education. Tell me, what's the problem you've seen which you think needs a solution?
Okay, so prior to pastoral ministry, I was actually a high school teacher. So I grew up in Wellington, New Zealand, and was at high school in the late 60s when I went to sixth form, which is now year 12, and did sixth form biology. And I learned about the male and female anatomy and the mechanics of, I guess, the biology, basic biology. And that was it. That's all I can recall. There was a health education syllabus. It did not include sex education. 10 years later, I find myself back at the same school and an old boy teaching there, and there is still no health education, there is still no sex education within the health syllabus. And though I was teaching economics and accounting, I was really interested in the phys ed program, and I did some extracurricular activities, and it wasn't there, but the discussion had started. That's in the late 70s. Since then, there has been a huge movement to do pretty much all of the sex education for teenagers at high school. With the advent of the internet and Google, we now have Google as from the data that I've read, Google appears to be the primary sex educator for pre-adolescent children and teenagers. And the bottom line is that the education they're getting there is not appropriate. It is secular. It is it's based on this very secular notion, non-Christian notion. If it feels good, do it. And it's about experimentation. Except so there's a whole bunch of things, and I think most of the listeners will be aware of it, that are going on in the state system that is not good and certainly counter-Christian. So I would argue that the church ought to be at the forefront of sex education for our children. As young as 5 and 6 now, I would argue, right through to the late, to the mid to late teens, that the church takes this back and becomes really expert. Every local church becomes an expert, I guess, to see it as part of their discipleship ministry, to really help the children become strong, clear, and have some strong Christian ethics that undergird their understanding of human sexuality.
Let me propose some potential problems that may be in the minds of some of my listeners, especially those who don't identify with Christ. What is the problem with a secular sex education? I know some of my listeners may actually say, and certainly a lot of my critics would actually say, that's the ideal. That's exactly what we want, a secular sex education. They might even follow that up with, the last thing we want to trust a church with is sexuality and our kids, with obvious accusations. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, so just to be clear, I'm arguing that the first place, the best place for sex education is the home, supported by the church. And because of the issues that are now become so diverse and so complex, I think that many parents would be grateful for some support from the church. So that's the first point. The church is supporting the home, that I believe the home is the primary place. The problem with the state education system is that they are pushing an agenda, and the agenda is not Christian, and it ends up in all kinds of sexual experimentation and deviant sexuality that causes harm. And we know that it causes harm. There's many studies now that show in New Zealand and Australia, North America, most of the West, that this teaching is not helping our kids. It's not producing strong kids that are understanding the importance of, you know, safe sex, human sexuality. It's leading to all kinds of experiences. So to suggest that the state is valueless is a nonsense. There is a value system in the state education system. It's liberal, it's secular, and it's about the autonomy of the individual. If it feels good, go ahead and do it, and just as long as you don't hurt anyone else. And of course, that's such an antithesis to what the Christian position is.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is that it's not that a secular, generic, non-denominational instruction on sexuality is bad. It's that what's given under those labels is anything but generic and absent of ideology. It's actually incredibly targeted, and if not targeted, in its targeting, very contrary to a large proportion of the taxpayers who are funding that education.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And my own experience would say that many middle New Zealanders, and I'm sure that's true, middle Australians would subscribe to essentially traditional, if you wish, family-based values around human sexuality. And so the state system is undermining that, and using taxpayers' dollars to push a very liberal agenda. And so, as I say, that ends up with kids experimenting with sexual relations, all kinds of deviant sexuality, and it hurts. It does not help, it hurts. And that we need to provide some kind of what I would call a fence at the top of the cliff. And I think if we can strengthen the arm of parents and stiffen their spine in this area, and this is such an important part of their job as parents, the church comes alongside and supports it, we might be able to build a bit of a fence, at least for the kids that are going to church somewhere.
Yeah, certainly. And I do like what you're saying about I agree. The church should be the resource for the parents. The parents should be the primary authority and influence in instilling values, the parents' values. It's terribly authoritarian and tyrannical to impose a homogenous set of values on an entire nation. The competition of ideas has always been the healthiest for democracy.
Yes.
But if there's any pastor who's uncertain about how welcome this kind of education and resource might be in his congregation, I have some research from George Barna, who's very good at doing exhaustive, comprehensive, large studies of church issues. And they've actually done a great research on what issues people want to be taught about in congregations. And given the option of rating an issue as extremely important for a congregation to receive biblical teaching on, very important, somewhat important, not too important, or not at all important, 59% of people believe it's extremely important, and 27 believe it's very important for pastors to teach what the Bible teaches about sexual identity, which is...
Well, that's like 90%, isn't it?
59 and 27's 60, 25. Yeah, we're getting close to 90%.
Yeah.
So this is congregations crying out for biblical teaching on, let's face it, sexual identity is a huge portion of sex education.
It's
gone, as you said, it's gone long past the mechanics of how things work and general health instruction and well into ideology. Yeah. Tell me, how do you think the resource would look like? Would it be Sunday morning delivered? Have you got any examples or bones that we can start building a body of sex ed curriculum on?
Yes. Look, I'm since writing this, and your interest has helped me think a bit more about it, but a couple of other bits of feedback I've had, I'm wondering whether I should do a little bit more work around maybe a suggested curriculum outline. And I'm thinking about that. But look, I think that preaching on Sunday mornings when the teenagers are generally in church for the sermon is actually very important. So every year without fail, I did a 4-week series on family life. And we covered marriage, we covered parenting, we covered some of the big issues of the day. So I think that is almost, for me, I'd say, may I say it that strongly, it's not negotiable. 4 weeks Wow. a month. 4 weeks a year. I think beyond that, I think there are some wonderful opportunities for pastors to, and I do believe, can I just make a point here? I do actually think that senior pastors or soul pastors, you know, they generally delegate the youth ministry to a youth pastor or a youth leader, volunteer youth leader, and that's fine. But I've been saying lately, senior pastors, why don't you show up at youth group from time to time? Sit yourself on a stool and just say to the kids, ask me whatever you want. Nothing's off limit. Ask me. And just for starters, I'm going to answer a question that my kids have asked me a lot, and start straight in. Go straight into a question around human sexuality.
Great.
And that starts then the kids, okay, we're allowed to ask any question we want. Creating an environment where it's okay to ask whatever question you want. And that's so important. No question is off limit.
Brilliant.
Now, if it's a really difficult, awkward question, you might just say, can I answer that later with you? You know what I mean? And, I need to think about that a little bit more. I'll come back to you. But any question is allowable. Now, I think that's a very good thing for pastors to do. And but they need to do their homework then, before they go and sit on the stool. I mean, you know, otherwise they're going to look a little bit kind of like foolish.
Sure.
So there are some really good resources around. And in my blog, I mentioned focus on the family.
Let's talk about the resources in just a second.
Okay, sure.
But first, a word from our sponsor. We're going to talk about church resources and exactly how you can, the other things that are out there, the third party books and videos and things that can be really useful in resourcing parents and churches to resource parents about this. But Alan Vink and Leadership Works are actually hosting the Church and State Summit tour to Auckland. in February 2020. And the international speaker, author, and social commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, is coming to Australia and New Zealand. We're going to do a stop in Auckland and then Melbourne and then Sydney before the two-day summit in Brisbane. So if you can make it to Brisbane, you really, really should. All the information is at churchandstate.com.au. And also there, you're going to be able to grab your tickets for all of them. Now, if you pay the full price ticket for the summit, you can also come to any one of the cities. We've had people in recent years come from New Zealand and Perth. And so you can actually come from your city and see it both. And that's no problem. But the tickets for just the tour stops are really cheap. And there's also great early bird specials on now if you're just coming to the summit. So that's the Church and State Summit with loads of high caliber speakers talking about issues like this. How do we get involved and get better informed about the hot issues which are shaping our society? So, Alan, tell me about some of the resources that people can look at right now. And I'll actually grab those links and put them beneath the video and so people can click on them directly and not even need to remember them. But what are some of those resources that you recommend parents and pastors look at to take back our authority in teaching our children values around sexuality and gender?
Okay, so can I just state the obvious first? I think it would be really, it would be great time spent by youth pastors and senior pastors to study the Bible on this. So to be very clear, do a deep search on what the Bible does say. I think we in the Christian community, we do need to reinforce our commentary. The Bible says this, and open it and say, here it is. Do you know what I'm saying? And of course, in the New Testament, well, in the Old and the New, but particularly the New Testament, you know, it casts a great vision for marriage, but it also has some warnings about deviant sexuality. So I think that's what's really important, a really deep Bible study. The other thing I want to say too is that, look, there's the carefully constructed conversations, like forum groups. You might get invite a bunch of parents to, a pastor might invite a bunch of parents that have all got children in roughly the same age group, and invite them to his home for a cup of tea and just interview them. What's worrying you? Where can we help you? What are some of the struggles your kids are going through?
Real-time
commentary that you're not going to quote, you're not even going to reference that you've had this particular meeting, but it informs your thinking. So you're talking to needs that are current in your church, not in someone else's church down the road, let alone over on the other side of the world. So what I would call focus groups, it would be really helpful. You know, you might get one for the sort of primary age children, one for the pre-adolescent children, one for the parents of teens, and then do the same with the teenagers. The teenagers can, you know, the schools are doing this all the time, for goodness sake. They're grabbing these teenagers and saying, what are your issues, you know? And in this environment, it can be very, very helpful. So I think that ongoing conversation, creating a climate in your church where this conversation is front and center, is hugely important. And that this is not a taboo subject. We will talk about it here, and we'll talk about it often. Why? Because the culture is talking about it often. Probably way too much, you know. And so we better start talking about it a lot more and not be scared about that.
Yeah.
For the sake of our kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. This tragic stories in my pastoral experience of kids that didn't adhere to those Christian principles and deviated and the tragedies and the babies that were gone, you know, on and on it goes. You know the story. Anyway, coming back to some resource suggestion. Look, you can't go far wrong with the stuff that the McDowells have written. So that's Josh and his son, Sean. Mm-hmm. But particularly the book that I've referenced is Josh and Dottie McDowell's book, Straight Talk with Your Kids About Sex. And I just recently heard Josh McDowell speak here in New Zealand, and he's the first speaker. I was just saying this to somebody the other day. the first speaker who has, who really stressed the damage that pornography is doing to our children. I mean, he stressed it. He went through a whole bunch of data. He's a grandfather. He's sitting there like a granddad, and he's telling us all, we've got to talk about this. We've got to help our kids navigate this, because it's not, pornography is not about when you see porn. It is if you, it's not if you see porn, it's when you see porn.
Yeah.
It porn chases you. Mm. You don't have to go look for porn these days. It chases you. So he was really very strong on it. I felt so heartwarming as a grandfather myself for the man of his age and vintage and expertise to say it as candidly as he did. Focus on the family. So the McDowells would be clearly one place to go. Focus on the family. Look, they've had a long history of working in this space.
Yes.
And again, I had another look at some of their recent resources and where do babies come from? Brilliant for the littler children. You know what I mean? So, but here's a website that not many Christians know about. It's originally Lutheran, started by the Lutherans in the United States, very strong on education, the Lutherans historically, called the Search Institute.
Okay.
Fabulous. Now, they don't deal specifically with sex education, but they talk about healthy relationships and about the assets that teenagers need to be resilient, robust, good, citizens.
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, psychologically being researched and biblically sound, psychologically sound. I love that website and that resource called the Search Institute.
Brilliant. I do love the exhortation to start getting practically involved, intentionally involved in the youth ministry to arm them and prepare them, maybe even inoculate them against the strategies of the world to destroy their faith and to destroy God's best plans for their lives. I don't think we can do enough of that. And I think we'll also find that there's a great deal of appreciation from them when we do that, that they won't be rolling their eyes, but they'll be glued with fixed attention to these topics.
When I was growing up, there was a big discussion in our youth group about mixed flatting, right?
Okay.
you may not even remember. It was about mixed flatting, and that was a big deal. And no, we said you should not go into mixed flatting for these and these reasons. It was a big, big topic, and certainly you must never be in a mixed flat with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. That was completely off limits. When my kids were growing up and they were off to uni and so on, that was no longer the discussion. Everyone was mixed flatting, Christian kids and all. It had, what I mean? And some of them were literally flatting with their boy or girlfriend, but they said, "No, we're not having sex. We're in separate rooms." Da 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 da. I mean, seriously, that's in that one short gap. Mm. That had already happened. Now we're dealing with pornography on demand. We're dealing with issues to do with what is marriage, transgenderism, polyamory, multiple sex part. I mean, it just goes on. And it is so much more important, therefore, for us to build a fence at the top of the cliff.
Yeah, brilliant. Just wrap it up for us, and then we'll bring this to a close.
So, I hold as a, I'm a grandfather now of 11 grandchildren under the age of 9. I worry about the world that they're growing up in, and I desperately want my four sons, three of them have these 11 children, to become, their wives, to become expert sex educators. And I'm going to broach that subject with them a little bit more. They're Christians. And I'm advocating that this is taken back by parents that the church, and particularly youth groups and pre-adolescent, you know, pre-teen groups, really take this seriously, and that the church offers support and resources and whatever help is needed for youngsters growing up in the area of sex education. Can I just add this? I also believe that the church, the local church, should be the first port of call when marriages are in difficulty.
Mm.
Not the counselor's room, the church. It's a follow-on, it's a different topic, but I actually believe that very strongly as well. And again, if we talk about this from the pulpit and we have an open conversation about this on a regular basis, I see no reason why the church cannot be the first responder to marriage difficulties at the top of the hill rather than at the bottom.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting topic. Alan, thank you very much. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs. It's at Leadership Works. It's one word, works with an X, leadershipworks.org.nz.
Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
I am on Facebook, but my assistant does that. I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not Twittering, yeah, I am on Facebook. By the way, Dave, this was part of a three-part series that I did in my blog. They're on my website. The first one was Sex and 60, and that was reflecting on my 40th wedding anniversary and how to stay pure within marriage. My second blog was on porn and purity for marrieds. And this was my third one, Sex Ed for Christian.
Brilliant. We'll put the links to leadershipworks.org.nz in the description beneath this video and podcast. And we will also put the links to those specific articles and resources that we've mentioned. Alan Vink from Leadership Works, thank you so much for joining me on Pillow Talk today.
Thanks, Dave. Wonderful to talk.
That's it for this episode of Pillow Talk, but a reminder of exactly where you can get much more like this. Past episodes of Pillow Talk are resources, not just old news. In fact, they're going to be things like this episode, which are just full of timeless information and wisdom that's very, very helpful for your journey. The website where you can get that is davepillow.com. And you can also keep up with all of the updates and discussion. And why not join the conversation with comments about today's issue on the social media channels where you can find me, which is YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all of those. Just search for Dave Pellow. That's P-E-L-L-O-W-E. So head to the website, subscribe to the email updates, and don't forget to get updates from your favorite social media channel following at Dave Pellow. Now, in February, please understand that this is going to be a huge, huge conference and summit. We've got international speakers, the best speakers from around Australia and New Zealand as well, contributing to your information and involvement in being an influence in culture. The purpose of the Church and State Summit is to arm Christians to influence culture. And this is a summit where the constant feedback is it's awesome for everybody, not just political nerds or theological nerds, but if you love your neighbor and you love the Word of God, you are going to love the Church and State Summit. So again, we've got tour stops in Auckland, Melbourne, Sydney, and a two-day summit in Brisbane, and that's in the last week of February 2020. For more information, it would be a big favor to help us pay for the airplane tickets if you can actually buy your ticket now and take advantage of those early bird discounts and maybe make a donation on top, if you can go to churchandstate.com.au. Now, we're not just asking you to use your faith to help make this happen by buying your ticket now or donating extra. I'm making free tickets available. If you can't afford a ticket, we still want you to come. We don't want you to miss out. And so grab your ticket and use the code FAITH at the checkout, and you will get a 100% discount. we'll trust you to donate what you can, but nobody's watching, nobody's checking, because we don't want anybody to miss out. So I look forward to seeing you in the comments section, as well as at the Church and State Summit in Brisbane or Auckland, Melbourne and Sydney in the last week of February 2020. And I'll talk to you later. Hey there, this is Dave Pellow. Just letting you know, if you want more from Pellow Talk, then you should head to my website, davepellow.com, and subscribe to email updates. You can also join the debate on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This episode of Pellow Talk was made possible by the generous monthly sponsorship of Pellow Talk Partners.